So lovely to see all of you today. In our scripture this morning from Matthew 18, Jesus lays out a process. Sometimes he gives us specific instructions, and that's kind of nice. He gives us this process or this discipline for dealing with sin and problems in the church. Starting at verse 15, first go to the person privately. Right? Then bring more people in if that's necessary. Bring more people into the conversation. Bring more of the church into the conversation until the matter is resolved, unless it cannot be resolved, which sometimes it cannot, unfortunately. In his book, Faithful Presence, David Fitch says, at the core of this discipline is the presence of Christ established between two people. So then in verse 20, when we see where two or three gather and hurt one another, there I am with them. And I know that's not really what it says. It doesn't say hurt one another. But what happens when two or more gather together, even in Jesus' name? People get hurt eventually. Churches are no exception. We are known for arguing about all kinds of things, doctrine, theology, who can be a pastor, the color of the carpet, etc. If we're doing church and life together, then we won't always get along. We won't always see eye to eye. We will make mistakes. We will hurt one another. David Fitch tells a story of two people in his church community who had a serious disagreement. The leaders of the church urged them to talk and to go through this process that Jesus described. They refused. They cut off ties with one another, and they both left the church. And I can think of probably examples from every church I've ever been a part of where the two groups or two people fighting ended up both leaving the church. Hopefully, they got a fresh start in a new church community and were able to have a new church family. But more likely, they brought their unresolved conflict to the next church, or they gave up on church altogether. Conflict is hard, and most of us would rather not deal with it. I would rather not deal. I have a positive example, though, that I think may be timely. When I met Mary and Barbara in Kansas, they had been close friends for decades. They raised their kids together in Southern Oregon. They were both teachers, both married to ranchers who lived on huge ranches. They were both Christians, although I think they went to different churches, but they prayed together. They led women's retreats together. They were both so smart, so strong. I had a ton of respect for both of them. There was one very big difference between the two of them. Politics. They completely disagreed on politics. And it's not that one of them was uninterested in politics. No, they both cared a lot. They both knew a lot. Although by the time I knew them in Kansas, they got their news from different sources. Because nowadays, we can just choose to get our information only from sources that tell us what we want to hear, what we already think, unless we're intentionally seeking different perspectives. Anyway, Mary and Barbara completely and passionately disagreed about politics, but the friendship was stronger than that. When Mary's 21-year-old son died in a rodeo accident, Barbara was there for her. And then Barbara's husband suddenly died, leaving her to look after the ranch by herself. At that time, Barbara was a school administrator. She didn't have much to do with the day-to-day work on the ranch, but she had to figure it out. And of course, it was a hot, terribly long summer with very little rain. Mary was there for Barbara in that hard time. I bring up the example of these Christian women as we are in the midst of an impeachment trial in our own nation and as we are in a presidential election year. What an example they were to put Christ and friendship first. It didn't mean that they disengaged from politics. It didn't mean that they didn't talk about it because it's not polite. It didn't mean that they separated their faith life and their public life. Quite the opposite for those two, actually. They didn't avoid each other because they disagreed. They stayed close, and Jesus was with them. So I want to encourage us to be patient and bear with one another in love in 2020. Can I get an amen? I know you don't all agree. Some of you have talked to me about what you think. Some of you have put on social media what you think. I know you don't all agree about impeachment, and I'm sure we don't all agree about November. We don't agree about a lot of things, probably. We don't agree about which sports teams are the best. There's a number of things. Jesus may be all we agree on, but he's enough. He's enough to hold us together. Well, whether it's politics or any problem, David Fitch says, the charge is to become present to this other person in a way that recognizes Christ's presence here among us. Listening grounds this discipline. And so presence, both my presence to the other person and my tending to Jesus' presence here among us, is central to this discipline. Reconciliation is fundamentally a discipline of faithful presence. Be present. Listen. Admit when we're wrong. Tend to Jesus' presence. At a time, I think it was Garth Brooks, he said that we have a list of 10 things, and if somebody doesn't agree with us exactly on those two things, we won't even talk to them. And he says, how did that happen? And he says he's a Christian as well. So tend to Jesus' presence in the other person, regardless of what they think. Pastor Chris and I have staff meetings. I forgot to ask him. It's okay if I share this. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye on everything. So sometimes we'll pull up an extra chair at a staff meeting, an empty chair for Jesus, so we can remember to tend to Jesus' presence in the meeting while we're talking through something challenging. I knew of a larger church, during a staff meetings, they had like a Jesus bobblehead doll that they put on a chair to remind everybody about Jesus. They weren't trying to be disrespectful or anything, but they were trying to make each other laugh while they engaged in some tough conversations. So remember that Jesus is there. And that's important because gathering in Jesus' name has to go deeper than simply claiming him without letting him claim us. This has to be more than talk. To be gathered in the name of Jesus is to be under his authority. Regarding politics again, no political party or individual should be more important than us. To us than our God, not even close. None of them are worthy of worship. None of them get it right all the time. There is no Christian political party in the U.S. and probably not anywhere. None of this will remain for all eternity. I'm also cautioning us against being overly fearful if those we do not like are in power or vice versa. Is it ever appropriate to speak out and stand up for what we believe in and even get politically active if you want to? Sure, although I said if you want to, because I'm not interested in getting involved in politics beyond learning as much as I can from a variety of sources, praying, voting. I will not be running for office. You heard it first here. I'm not announcing anything. Our faith absolutely leads us to get involved in various ways, to be active in our world, in our communities. But also take the long view, the eternal view, and search your heart about God's place in all of this. In his second inaugural address, which was towards the end of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln was clear about the evil of slavery, but also warned against claiming that God is on your side, as both sides were doing. He said both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. The prayers of both could not be answered. And this is what President Lincoln said that I most want us to hear today. The Almighty has His own purposes. We don't get to tell God what should happen. We don't get to tell God that He's on our side, of course. No matter what happens in our nation this year, remember that the Almighty has His own purposes. Remember the authority that Jesus has over you and me, because we are His. Remember that when we come together in His name, only He is in charge. And by way of finishing up here, I want to take a little bit of a look at verses 18 and 19. If I can just summarize those briefly, those kind of weird sentences there. I think it means that the church, the family of God, the body of Christ, have the privilege to talk about the things that matter, and what we decide together, what we discern together, and pray for together, has heavenly implications. That's because of the authority that Jesus has given us. That's because of the authority of Jesus. So maybe even more important than our time of worship together in Jesus' name might be any time we are in smaller groups in Jesus' name talking about the things that really matter. Not just politics, obviously, much, much more than that. Whether that happens at a church event or informally, it's critical to being a church family. I want to congratulate you for being brave enough to come to church, to worship today. I know it's not always easy to get here, not for everyone. I was in McDonald's and these guys started talking about church, so I perked up and started taking notes. So be careful when you talk about McDonald's when a pastor's there. One man was talking about why he didn't want to go to church. Because when he was a kid, his foster family took him to a church where they tried to scare you about hell if you didn't believe exactly right, and they always talked about money. The other man listened. And then without discounting the man's experience or arguing with him about doctrine or theology or the importance of giving, maybe, I don't know, he just said, "Oh, my church is a bunch of misfits that somehow fit together. If you can give a nickel, great. If you can't give anything, we're glad you're here." That was faithful presence. He listened, and then he gently offered his own experience. I'm glad that we're here today, especially if it was hard for you to get here today. And if you're really brave, you will get involved in a group of the church, serving on the board, singing with the choir, working in the kitchen, going to Sunday school, or joining a grow group as those start up next month. Because that's when things get real, or can get real. That's when we start to really have the opportunity to be present to each other in Jesus' presence. That's when our being together gets really good, and sometimes really hard, and sometimes just awkward and weird. And Jesus is with us in all of that. Amen.